four in the books, and boy, did we need that bounce back week. Best bets went 11-1, and I don't know what it would be, a quadfecta. All of our teams won this week. Notre Dame, Florida, yeah, even Michigan and Arkansas. What's up, fellas?
Nice little foursome to end the weekend. I'll take
it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take the blame. 11-1 on our best bets. I'm so mad at myself. I was 50-50 between taking that LSU team total or taking Indiana with that huge line. Should have taken Indiana. So the one loss is on me. I'll wear it.
Indiana looks good.
I think they're for real. They got the
wagon. Wagon.
That over 5.5 win total is looking good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nick, how is Morgan Wallen though? I think we all have, if you have social media and a pulse, you have seen the insane walkout that Morgan Wallen had in Knoxville as he performed at Neyland Stadium. Even got old Peyton Manning in a uniform again.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that one. That everything was solid except that.
Yeah, my tweet has somehow gone. This is like my first ever like viral like thing. Like it has over a million views and everything now because it got picked up by a couple different places. It's about to be on Intentional Talk because they're gonna interview, for those of you who don't know, the Tennessee shortstops getting interviewed on Intentional Talk on MLB Network here in about 15 minutes. So they're gonna use my video on there as well, which was actually, and I'll admit it, it was sent to me from like one of my friends. Like I took the video, wasn't as good a quality. One of my buddies like sent me a better quality one, and I tweeted it out, and now it's like, yeah, just gone like a million views, absolutely just span the works. So yeah, it's crazy. But that Friday night was by far the best concert I've ever been to, without a doubt.
Yeah, he puts on a hell of a show.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Church and Hardy were surprises. What was the vibe? Like, did you guys know that?
No, Hardy was expected. Ernest was expected. Eric Church was a surprise. Nobody knew who that one was. And then nobody knew who his walkout was going to be. So it was cool that it was the baseball team and Vitello. And even the guys who are still, like, playing minor league baseball. Like Christian Moore was there and Blake Burke was there and Dylan Dreiling was there. So, like, it was cool how you got all the guys to come back home and do that. And then I know, like, last night's show was like you said, it was Peyton in a full-blown Tennessee jersey with helmet and everything, which he just looked like a goof. I'm surprised they found a helmet to fit his forehead anymore these days. So it was cool. And last night, yeah, he ended up with Miranda Lambert. And I can't remember who else he was with. Darius Rucker ended up showing up and some others. So, yeah, like his two-night show, they ended up getting 178,000 people there, so which is just wild.
Couple tickets sold.
Yeah, just a few.
He made some money. That's all right.
So we got started on a Friday night. Illinois goes into Lincoln and beats Nebraska 31-24. I didn't get to see that game, but I think I saw a stat. Nebraska, their record versus top 25 teams, it's not very good. Did they get exposed a little bit, or do y'all actually think this Illinois team is that good? Because I can't make heads or tails of it.
I'll tell you what, I watched it, and I'll be honest, I didn't think Nebraska played horrible. I don't think you got the Nebraska that was, you know, preparing for the Colorado game, but they didn't look bad in anywhere that I kind of would say was glaring. I think Illinois just played really good football. Which I think was surprising from my aspect. I didn't think they'd be able to handle Nebraska's defense the way they did. And, you know, again, I didn't think Nebraska played poorly. I just think Illinois played better.
Anybody else on that one?
Yeah, I gave it out. I mean, I played Illinois. It's a good team. We said their secondary is probably the best secondary, you know, the quarterback from Nebraska was going to see. And that QB for Illinois, he's good. He ran a lot.
They couldn't get him.
He's legit. You know, I know later in the week we'll talk Illinois, Penn State. I'm shocked that line is as high as it is. I know it's the whiteout game and that's a crazy atmosphere, but I don't know. They're a good team.
That's kind of what I was getting to, because like Penn State, we always know James Franklin. He's going to have a good team, but he also usually drops one that he shouldn't lose. This could be that game, but I could also see Penn State just blowing them out. Much like NC State got blown out. That game was over before it got started. Thankfully, we had a really good one with USC Michigan. Congratulations, Todd. Your football team decided to start playing football again.
Really?
They didn't deserve it at the end.
There's some positive.
USC blew it.
Yeah, I mean, there's some positives, and you got to like how, you know, they can run the ball, but there was a couple just plays that were big plays that really helped them. Every week when I watch them play, I just say to myself, how in the world did we not bring in a quarterback? Like, with all these transfers, how did they look and go, all right, Warren, okay, check. 4G, okay, we're good. I mean,
we're good with this quarterback room.
And it's just to the point, too. I think if they get down, it's like
there's no coming back.
It kind of reminds me of like a service academy, like Air Force. If they get down by a lot of points, you're like, they can't move the ball quick enough. And it's like, if they get down, that kid can't throw, and they don't even want to throw with him. It's bubble screen. It was like 3rd and 6, and they threw a bubble screen. I about threw the remote through the TV. I was like, this is brutal. So
I'll tell you what.
It just blows my mind they did not bring somebody else in.
I mean, when you're down Colston, you only have a good running back, and then you've got a good offensive line, defensive line, but I mean, you have to run the ball. Sorry, Q, didn't mean to jump in there.
No, I was just going to say, like, on the last possession, Lincoln Riley's calling timeouts with 50 seconds left, and obviously I get what he's trying to do. He's thinking they're going to score, but for a while it didn't look like they were going to be able to get in the end zone when they got inside the 10. And that's a bad spot to be in when you look at that. And like Smitty said, you know, Warren can't throw. Orgy's a even worse thrower. So, you know, they're going to run and they're just going to load the box. I mean, if Donovan Edwards was the only running back, I don't think they'd score that touchdown. Mullings willed his way into the end zone. And he's the only reason Michigan won. So, I mean, he's a stud, but they, like he said, I don't know how a Diego Pavia or somebody slipped a Vanderbilt in not a place like Michigan, or, you know, hindsight being 2020, but that's just a bad look for Sherrone Moore right now.
USC loses 27-24. And
yeah, let me add real quick. There's a reason Will Johnson is going to be the highest draft pick on the field. Like that was he baited Miller Moss into that throw. You could see it as soon as the snap was made. You could tell the thought process behind that, like 5 yard out. He knew exactly what was coming. He baited him into it previously in the game, and he jumped that thing and, like, yeah, he could have caught that blindfolded. So without that, you're probably looking at this game's flipped. USC wins it. I don't know. I kind of come out hot. Like, this game made me feel like USC belongs in the Big Ten, though. Like, at least, like, their defense showed up. Michigan's defense showed up. Miller Moss didn't play, like, awful outside of maybe 2 or 3 throws. But at least physically, they look like they belong in the Big Ten. Like, it didn't look like one of those weird Pac-12 games where it's going to be 52-45 every week. So even on the road here in the Big House, I'm still pretty high on what SC brings. Now, are they going to have to fight to make the playoff? Yes, because they're going to be somewhere around that 10 to 15-ish area, depending on how the rest of their schedule goes. But, yeah, I mean, give Will Johnson credit. The reason he's the best player on the field, he basically won that game for Michigan, which you can't say a lot about corners.
Ken, thanks for watching. Our resident Michigan fan, Mullings is definitely RB1. Georgia Tech, Louisville, and I texted in the group. Georgia Tech was covering in this game, I feel like, the entire time. They ended up losing 31-19. I think the line was right around 11. I'm still not completely sold on this Louisville team. I think they could probably get blown out by Notre Dame next week, and we're not going to really be surprised. Georgia Tech, though, just, man, you start off the season so well, and I think it's just more evident that Florida State's just bad. But I don't know. Georgia Tech may be looking at like 7-5, 8-4 record at the end of the season, despite their big success in the beginning.
You know, they have a lot of talent on the field. You can see it. The guys are there. They're just not playing all full quarters worth. I mean, a couple good receivers, hard nose north and south running back, quarterback. Again, we talked about it. He shows you that he has moments where he can lead a team and lead drives and be that guy, but then he just doesn't, you know, in certain spots. And it kind of leaves your head scratching. You know, Georgia Tech has the ability to be good. They've just got to execute all four quarters and not three of them.
And then by some miracle, Oklahoma State covers my 3.5. I turned that game off. I was done. I thought, okay, Oklahoma State cannot move the ball against Utah's defense. And lo and behold, they somehow get a backdoor cover.
Yeah, I'll jump on this one, being the only one who was on the Utah side. This was even without Cam Rising, who, like, this is built for another podcast. But I'm so sick of this, like, questionable stuff in college football. Like, can we get a real injury report now that millions and millions and millions of dollars are being put on the sport every weekend? Can we get an accurate, like, what is going on with certain players, especially when it's a quarterback? Like, this is something I would have loved to know. And I mean, I got lucky, I'll admit it, and the fact that Utah won anyways, because Oklahoma State's offense is absolutely broken, like the running game. But yeah, this is what, like, Utah just absolutely dominates the line of scrimmage. That's the reason I thought they'd win in the first place. I thought I would have Cam Rising to help me out a little bit. Didn't get that for a second. So, yeah, I don't know here. Like, Oklahoma State, like I said, most of the stories on Oklahoma State, this is the same thing. Every time they get in a big game, it's Gundy's kind of – it's just a letdown. And Utah here, and, like, biggest thing, like, betting-wise, is by whole weekend, huge bet, like, with the plus 300 for Utah to win the Big 12 with Kansas State getting blown out by BYU in the late game. Like, Utah now is just in the driver's seat in the Big 12 with basically a game and a half lead on every other team they have to worry about.
Is UCF in that running too? I'm assuming they play each other. I don't know that for sure, though.
I assume so. Because
play Utah. I think Utah has to go to UCF. If not.
Oh, yeah, at the very last game of the season.
Yeah.
Cam Rising will be questionable, guaranteed.
Yeah, I feel like with college football, you're getting the NHL upper body, lower body.
It's disgusting, man. I just can't. Like, it's just I don't know what to say.
That was messages back and forth all day. Yeah. All of us trying to figure out, and yeah.
Well, you had his own receivers coming out and saying he's playing.
Yeah.
Pat Forty.
I don't know if he's even going to play.
Pat Forty reported he's playing. Brett McMurphy reported he was playing. And then all of a sudden, game time, it's like, oh, by the way, no, we're just going to go. We're going back up here.
I mean, at what point do you just say, screw it, and we're not going to play him? I mean, you're 4-0. It's working.
We've been asking that for –
What do you get out of Cam Wright? Like, does he just come out and he's all of a sudden good again? Like, there's got to be some rust.
I mean, he looked good against Baylor. I mean, they quickly went up 23-0. Now, again, I know it's opponent specific there, but he's better than what they have behind him. They can't move the ball without him.
And the big one that really wasn't, I mean, I think Tennessee dominated. You can look at the scoreboard. Yes, they covered, but they won 25-15. I think there's a lot of controversy, may not be the right word, but about Josh Heupel having the opportunity to run it up, and he didn't. I mean, I think that was a tip of the hat. They dominated them in that game, despite the 10-point score difference. Tennessee obviously wins 25-15. Oklahoma, they look bad.
Defensively, they looked. I thought for the first half they looked okay.
And yeah,
you could see them just get tired. I mean, they were out there the whole time. I got to give it to Brent Venables. This is the best Oklahoma defense since Brian Bosworth's era. So
defense is legit. Yeah, defense.
Yeah, yeah. I mean that's what they were supposed to be.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I mean you know, Venables is your head coach. It's kind of.
I saw
Jackson Arnold gets benched.
That other kid's better than him. That backup.
Yeah.
And my only point, because I went with Oklahoma. I thought it was going to be a closer game. But, you know, and I think I sent in a text to you guys. Nick said it, I think, on the Friday show or the Thursday show, just how you know, we always think of offense for Tennessee. It's their defense. Their defense is good, and their D-line's good, and they're tough. That team is good, and it's not just because they can score a lot of points like they always have the last couple of years. It is their defense is legit. That team very easily could win a national championship this year.
And one honorable mention, I got to talk about it. We didn't cover it, but Vanderbilt and Missouri. This was a fantastic game.
Before we get in, I need to touch on Tennessee, Oklahoma.
Oh yeah,
just real quick. Yeah, just let me hop in. I will say, so Heupel after the game mentioned, like, because Tennessee fans were upset during the third quarter and fourth quarter that Heupel wasn't, like, because it seemed very easily that they could have put, like, their, like, just foot on the throat and just, like, throttled them. So Tennessee's down to their third string left tackle, second string right tackle, second string right guard. And Heupel said also, like, for something, like, was messed up with the grass at Oklahoma. So literally, so his entire thing was not getting anybody else hurt. So when you think of Tennessee, you don't think of, let me just turn around and hand the ball off to die. Like, let me just run a dive play 50 times a game. It was one of those where he just wanted to get out of there alive, let Nico stay healthy, let Dylan Sampson stay healthy. I don't care what the final score is, because there was no threat. Like we mentioned, Todd mentioned the Tennessee defense. You could tell about first quarter, maybe half of the second quarter on, that there was no threat of Oklahoma really opening it up against this Tennessee defense. So there it was upsetting as a Tennessee fan on to see them, like, yes, you probably could have won by 30 or 40 if you put your foot on the pedal. But when you think about, like, this is a different type of Tennessee team than the one in 22, where it's like Hooker is just like, let's just blow everybody out. There's a different thought process now with this defense, where it is just like, let's win the games, let's get out healthy, and let's move on to, you got Alabama at home in a couple, or in 4 weeks. You got Georgia at Georgia in 5 weeks. Like, let's stay healthy. Let's do things the correct way. But yes, this game finished 10 points. But, like, Oklahoma had 26 rushes for 28 yards. Like, there was never, ever a threat of Oklahoma doing anything. Even Nico didn't have to throw the ball. Like, he had 9.8 yards per attempt. So, it's like every time he even, like, tried to throw the ball, whether it was complete or incomplete, still had almost basically a first down. So, there was no threat here. Tennessee dominated this game. It should have been more than 10 points. But, yeah, it was like, get out of here alive. And let's just do, like, so – yes, like I said, very high on this Tennessee team, but we're also very low on this Oklahoma team moving forward as well.
Championship mindset.
And to your point, I mean, I talked about, could this be something that we have now with a larger playoff field, mm-hmm. like where it's more important, instead of trying to get flashy scoreboard wins, you just play it smart, you keep your guys healthy. But
yeah, 1,000%.
I mean, Tennessee proved that they're a legitimate shot to go make the college football playoff. But this Missouri team, I know, Nick, you're on the under on their win total. They're not very good. And I think Vanderbilt blew that game. They were like 99.9% win percentage.
Yeah.
And just blow it.
Missed the kick.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's the weird thing is, like, I mentioned that the reason I was on their season win total under was the defense. The defense actually hasn't been terrible. When you think of who they faced, like, last week, with Boston College, not a terrible offense. Vandy, their offense is not going to be terrible, even though they're in SEC. Like, that's not a terrible offense. But where, like, the explosiveness from, like, Brady Cook and, like, where's that gone? Like, there's no reason why this offense shouldn't still be explosive with the receivers they have, with the quarterback they have, brought in the running back from App State. Like, obviously, Drinkwitz, I'll say it out, like, full name, Drinkwitz usually comes up with explosive plays. It's just, I don't know where that part of the team went.
Well, I think Matt and I hit it in our chat.
Agree, Ken.
There's no Schrader to – and I'll be honest, if you've truly watched the Missouri games last year, outside of the luck they had, Brady Cook had some moments where he didn't look that sharp in terms of accuracy and decision-making in the passing game. He threw quite a bit of weird and unacceptable interceptions, and that's kind of being exposed right now, and I think they're trying to tame that down so it doesn't get exposed even more, because, like Matt and I said, all they have is really Luther Burden on the offense. Yeah, they have a couple of running backs, but they're not Schrader's by any means. So it's a one-man, you know, one-option show, really, if you think about it.
Todd, you got anything? Close us out.
No, I mean, I just kept an eye on that one. I mean, typical Vandy blowing the kick at the end.
Yeah.
God. Their season win total was, what, 2.5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, assuming they beat Ball State, it's going to be – imagine going 2-0 to start the season. Think you've got that, and then
– and Virginia Tech was one of them, which is supposed to be a guaranteed loss. Yeah.
Yeah, Virginia Tech. What happened with them?
They God, they're trash.
They're horrible.
Don't say here a lot because Smitty had five games left with Air Force.
Air Force last year. I had their win total over, and I needed one game, and they had like five games left, and they lost everyone. So, so I hope Indiana does not do that to me this year, please.
All right. Well, Q, I don't know if you watched the show that you missed out on, but I had made a joke.
It went 3-0.
It went 3-0.
The floor.
Let's get into your best bets, though. Congratulations, you swept the board.
Needed it. I was on suicide watch.
Oregon State, West Virginia, that was pretty easy winner.
Oh,
Texas Tech, easy winner. West Virginia scared me. Needed that delay, and went from yelling. I agree with Smitty, fire coach. And
well, he would have been in some trouble because, I mean, his numbers aren't great in conference. And
yeah, no,
that would have been – he might have been in trouble.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, the only loser on the board.
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier. I was 50 – LSU, like, God. They ended up with 35. They just didn't have their foot on the pedal against UCLA. It was one of the – like, I was actually impressed with UCLA, though, flying across the country and – actually putting up a fight. Like, they actually looked like they knew what they were doing and didn't just roll over. So I'll take the L on this. Like I said, I was 50-50 between choosing this LSU team total and the Indiana minus 28. Indiana just wagging, should have stuck with them. So yeah, mad at myself for being the only loss this week.
Smitty, congrats on your best bet.
I was right
more faith in him than I did.
Suicide watch here. I was right with Q, man. I needed a good week here. So
God, that was an ugly game too.
the Arkansas game. Yeah, I was kind of
27 turnovers.
Yeah, that game was crazy. But you know, I brought up the conditions with the wind and Texas Tech got out pretty quick. I was a little worried about that, and then that slowed down. And again, Florida State, it wasn't pretty, but get the money line there, and needed the 3-0. So hopefully, I can continue this week.
And Cal Bears Twitter all goes back to normal, I'm assuming. Like I said, Arkansas, Oregon State are pretty easy winners. And then I was really confident in this Tennessee game. It was closer than what I thought it was going to be. But again, we've hammered that home. Josh Heupel took his foot off the gas. I get it. Just glad that they covered, because Oklahoma touchdown in the end to backdoor that would have been just catastrophic. Next week we have a ton of games, and I'll try to knock out previews for every single one of them. There are a lot of close lines. Circa just posted their biggest moves. Let me see if there's – y'all can talk about this while I try to find some notable moves.
What was the Georgia Alabama over under open?
Oh, 48.5, I believe. Yeah. It hasn't moved
under. That's got like 24-20 all over it.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. Michigan has moved from minus.
A lot of these though in the South too, especially you talk about like in Oklahoma, Auburn. You're talking about Georgia, Alabama. Like that hurricane that's coming up to the Panhandle of Florida. There's going to be rain, so it's probably going to be either Friday night, Saturday rain. So I would hold off on any bets. Like at least earlier in the week at like those kind of southern schools until we realize what this weather is going to do, because this could be one of those where it's like it ends up being auto underplays kind of everywhere in the South if it ends up super sloppy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got Texas Tech said Thursday night into Friday. So
Texas Tech has moved from a touchdown to minus 3.5. A lot of money coming in on Cincinnati there. Kansas State opened -4. Now it is -6. So a little sell-off of the Oklahoma State Cowboys.
I think Kansas State bounces back in a big way at home.
I think
we didn't talk about that. Like, is BYU, like, that was impressive. I get Provo at night is tough, but like, that was a manhandling.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't even close.
Yeah, that was good.
I feel bad.
I was on that one, and a lot of the predictors had BYU winning that or really close. So, yeah, turned at quarterback, just way too many turnovers for Kansas State.
Taco Bell may be the biggest winner out of that game, though. Liv Moss, I don't know if you saw BYU's Twitter. That's how they ended the night, that poor guy with the beefy five-layer burrito. Good luck.
Good luck. I will not be talking about Notre Dame Louisville all week, so leave Twitter people, leave me alone. I don't want to talk about it. Because I
didn't change the color for their block.
Yeah, why are they purple?
Yeah, I don't know. Just trying to hurry.
It's like the offensive coordinator. You see the guy with the purple hat on the sidelines.
Yeah, that one's going to be fun. Yeah,
I will be in Disney. I'm actually, so for Georgia, Alabama, the rest of my family will be at a character dinner at Disney for my two and a half year old nephew. And I am going to be at a sports bar somewhere else watching Georgia, Alabama. So don't say I'm not dedicated.
You won't even remember.
Yeah, don't say I'm not dedicated.
Yeah, there you go. So if anybody knows of any sports bars in
Disney actually World, please help me out. Like Disney Spring, it's tough to find.
49.5 was what Circa opened Georgia, Alabama. That's gonna be a good one. And I think I said it last week. I think Alabama probably wins that game. I've just been more impressed with Alabama's offense. Carson Beck just does not look good, especially if they get down. I don't know how they come back. We've seen Alabama can score in a hurry.
Yeah,
and I'm glad we're covering Maryland, Indiana.
So I think this is two of the worst Alabama-Georgia offenses you've seen in probably 5 years. So you're probably not wrong that Bama's offense is a little better than Georgia. But I think both defenses are better than both offenses, and you're going to see that showcased in the under. As a matter of fact, I just bet under 48.5 -110. It will be on the card.
Yeah, especially talent-wise. Like, outside of you could say Carson Beck's probably going to end up being a first-round quarterback, but it's also a terrible quarterback draft outside of a few guys. So there's not a ton of first-round talent on Georgia and Alabama, which is saying a lot. At least on the offensive side. Like, defenses are way ahead of the offenses in this game. So, yeah, I'm kind of with you. I'm going to go and, like, look and see what kind of numbers I can come up with once we get off this call. But, yeah, I probably do lean under here. I might look at a team total under here for one of the two teams and play it that way.
And then
first half, because this also, like, for a lot of the first half under bets have been hitting. If this is somewhere around like 23.5 or 22.5, that might be worth it while we just like feel out how both these offenses are going to try to approach the game.
Like a first quarter under there too.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma, Auburn. This intrigues me because this line is so close. Like what we just saw from Auburn, is this 2 is what it's sitting at? Is that not too short for Oklahoma?
Bro,
That
Arkansas-Auburn game was a Big Ten game with SEC helmets on. Like, that was disgusting. So, I don't know what to think of. Like, Hank Brown was so bad that he had turned the ball over so much that he got replaced by the most turnover-worthy quarterback in basically the last, like, 3 or 4 years in Peyton Thorne. So, I have no idea what to think of Auburn. Who's Oklahoma going to start at quarterback? We don't know which way they're going to go. So, I'm going to stay far away from this.
Hugh Freeze threw his players under the bus after that. It's like, we've got to get guys that can catch the ball.
and then Bo Wallace.
Stop. Like, Bo Wallace went off.
Bo Wallace on Twitter went off on Hugh Freeze. Like, God.
It's wild.
And then another one, you talked about BYU. Baylor is a short home favorite, laying 2. This is going to be – To take a word out of Tim Murray's mouth, he is a spot better, and I think this is a letdown spot here, probably for BYU. I kind of want to take Baylor. Just hop on the money line right now.
David Ryan needs a win.
Yeah.
He might have jumped really deep here.
Unbelievable game. That at Hail Mary, unbelievable how they let that guy catch it. And then going right into the end zone and good hit by Hunter there at the end. But, I mean, you got to hold on to the ball. It was a bad loss.
Texas laying 38.5 against Mississippi State. You want any part of that?
I'll tell you what. I watched that entire game at Florida because I had the over. Those defenses, Mississippi State's defense is so bad. Their holes. I said you could just walk through them. And Q goes, our offensive line's garbage. I said, well, then that defense is real garbage because that is a bad football team. And now with their quarterback being hurt, I mean, Texas is gonna put a thumping on this team. It's just if they really like. Nick says they're going to put their foot on the pedal and really go the entire game.
Yeah, and here's the caution I'd have. I think that number is playable if Quinn Ewers starts because that means you have Quinn Ewers start, let him get it until this game is kind of out of reach, then you have Arch coming in. If Quinn Ewers is still not healthy enough and you have Arch Manning starting, then you have Arch Manning starting, there's a chance Arch Manning only plays probably the first half in this game.
Yeah.
And it's like, we already have one quarterback down. Let's not risk getting our backup quarterback hurt as well. So a number that high kind of scares me off there, because if you're Texas, probably the second half is going to be played by a true freshman, third string quarterback. So it's like if Quinn Ewers starts, so you know that Arch is going to back him up, this is definitely playable because Mississippi State is brutal. But if Arch starts, there's no Quinn Ewers, he's going to play a half, and then you're basically just relying. Like, so I'd probably look at maybe Texas first half line and see what that is before I try to play a number this big for Texas full game, knowing that Mississippi State could easily backdoor cover with our Texas playing just their like third stringers the entire second half.
Yep. Quarterback for Mississippi State, Blake Shapen, he is going to be out for the year. Michael Van Buren Jr., his stat line real quick, 7 of 13 for 100 yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. I don't know what to make of that.
I mean, that's more passing yards than Alex Orji has all season.
I want no part in trying to back this Mississippi State team. I was on a +7.5. I thought there for a second I could get a backdoor cover by Mississippi State, but no.
Hey, can I say
– stop the run.
Can I go back to that Michigan game real quick? After the game, they brought Orji, then was getting interviewed. I'm like, why are they interviewing Orji? I'm like, what did he do to be up on the paint with all the guys and talking? And I'm like, is his dad running the show? Like, it just blew my mind. I mean, it's to the point. I think Michigan has to go back to that other guy too, to throw the ball, like mix and play both guys. Because I think you got to be able to throw the ball down the field. And again, it's just, I mean, again, Minnesota, I don't know what you can really take out of them. Their coach is in trouble too, Minnesota. So maybe they'll get a big win.
It's going to be a good week just to prep. We'll post our bets in our Discord. So if you have not already, go hop in our Discord. It's on a link at our website, collegefootballinsiders.com. Y'all have anything else? Close this out.
Nope.
All right.
All good.
Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you on Friday.